God, what a hangover. Jeez. Mark, we're recording, right? What were we talking about? Let me look. Let me pull our notes. Years of the year 2019. That sound right?
It seems like it's the ballpark. What day is it?
It's... Why does my calendar say 2023? The fuck?
San Antone's calling, and I've just been hauling myself and a few friends around.
It's time for the newer, possibly not improveder, beer phase, with your hosts, Mark Cox.
The only Cox in podcasting. And your other host, Ryan Smith.
It doesn't matter if the unit is good. What matters is, can I paint it as something cool?
Beer drinking, beer drinking, Lord, it's so fine. Hanging out in Texas with good friends of mine. Picking and singing and drinking them down. Loving the beer drinking people I've found.
Well, Mark, the green light's on, and that means things are recording. What are you drinking? What are you drinking it out of? I haven't asked that question in 5 years. It's green. I don't know what it means. Does that mean it's on? You're answering green me, so I guess you can hear it. Yeah, green for goat, green for orcs, my friend.
That's right. Not for much longer.
I wogged the GW player out of the store yesterday.
Did you really?
Because his wog was sissy, and I called him a Gretchen. He got all offended. I told him to play a real game. It was wonderful. Building communities, one game at a time. What are you drinking? I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. I am drinking a 903 bourbon barrel aged Funfetti, which comes in at like 13% alcohol, maybe higher. And it drinks like motor oil, and it looks like motor oil, and it is delicious.
I'm so
What about you?
I am drinking a Grand Teton Parks IPA. It's very piney. It's what I want for a summer afternoon. It's a whopping 4.7%. It's super bitter. I am drinking out of a BCB Coolest Brawler glass from BCB4.
Oh, nice.
Which I think has been since we recorded last time. So it's been a couple of years. What's up, Mark? What have you been up to? What have I missed out on hearing about?
I think you've heard it.
But what have they missed out on hearing about?
For the sake of being phony with it, let's run down the list. There's been a lot that's been going on. I don't want to know where to start with on the list. So let's do the fun stuff. So I think in the last 3 or 4 years, we've had like 5 or 6 family vacations with each other,
yep,
with the kids and everything. The most recent one was we went down to Corpus.
Oh, most and recent one was Omaha.
At the beach. Oh, that's right. They did go to Omaha with us, didn't they?
Yep.
So they went to Omaha. They did the zoo. Before that, we did Corpus.
The wives did 5 breweries without us in Omaha, just proving that we're not the only alcoholics in the family.
We drank the last of that Fruity Loops beer
like
3 days ago. It's fucking great. Such a good beer. Let's see, we did Fredericksburg at least 3 times. Because we stayed at that Airbnb twice.
Mm-hmm. And then we had
the other Airbnb. Yeah, on the other side of the town, yeah. And then you guys came up here for like a weekend. And then we went down there for like a weekend.
Yep.
So that's like six
trips.
Maybe, right?
That's awesome.
At least 6 trips, yeah. I got a new job. I got fed up with my boss on October 2nd of 2020, and I immediately posted out for a different job, and I got a job that is way more laid back and pays more.
That is awesome.
Like 18% more than I was
making.
Nice. Yeah. And it's like a quarter of the work effort.
Sweet.
It's such an awesome job. So yeah, I got to do that. Ryan, you've got a couple of things going on. What's been going on with you?
Let's see. I have not started a new job yet, but things are happening, like return to office, that make some of us sad. Haven't had as much fun as you. We lost Kaylee about 2 years ago. We have a new corgi, Twister, who is a corgi Aussie mix. So he's little, he spins around, he has a giant tail, he has all kinds of anxiety, and so much love, and he must touch you at all times. I got really into 3D printing. Like, I have tons of terrain that I may never paint for Alamo for 3D printing. I've gotten into digital sculpting. I 3D sculpted an entire army that I'm running around with this year based on Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. It may be the most insane thing I've ever done hobby-wise. It was almost 2.5 years of work to sculpt and pose everything. But it looks really cool, and that's really, in the end, what I care about. What else have I done? I did a Basilian army last year. I did a Trident Realms army 2 years before that.
Yeah, you did.
I think we hosted Masters twice. I think I made Masters one more time. you're running a second tournament now.
Yeah. I picked up a second tournament. I stuck my hand back in the bear trap because I didn't learn the lesson the first time.
It's more laid back, so that makes it easier.
Oh, it's way more laid back. You know what? It's not easier. It's actually harder. Because I spend the entire time running around the kitchen because I cook the whole fucking time, which is fine. I like it. Don't get me wrong. I love doing it, but it actually makes Lone Wolf like easier, which is funny because Lone Wolf is like bigger.
Have anything new hobby wise you've been doing?
So I have been progressively building on that army that we crafted together last year, and I kind of took it off and ran with it myself after we won BCB. And I've been building on it, just adding like a unit here or there every time that we go to a new event. So I've been doing that. It's not a rat army, which always shocks the shit out of people when they see it for the first time. And it looks really good, and you 3D printed the temple for me, which I greatly appreciate.
Happy to do it.
It's been a solid list. So I'm playing Northern Alliance now, and it fits better with like kind of, I guess, my play style. So yeah, I still love the rats, still like to play the rats, but the rats are just, they're missing that one or two little things that they need to get to be competitive that doesn't require them to shoot. Because I refuse to be a gunline army. But yeah, so Northern Alliance is kind of the new sitch. And I know you've actually started kind of running them too, which is interesting because we were playing, it was Northern Alliance and Elves when we did it at BCB last year in 2022.
The Elves were nice enough that I didn't use them, but I took the shooting out of them. Did a whole army off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found Northern Alliance a lot of fun to play with. They don't require as much finesse as the Basilians I did last year, where I've got to be very careful about what my combo charges are. They're a little more forgiving for the way I play, which is more pressing forward. How I did better with Basilians than I'm doing with Northern Alliance, I don't know. I'll blame that on sobriety.
You know, I kind of agree with you. There's a little more consistency with the Northern Alliance than there ever was when I was playing the rats. Is it was always like, well, I don't know that I can take that charge. Now it's a lot more, yep, I can take that charge. Like I've got no qualms about taking this. Or taking a charge or going after something and going and just gonna I'm gonna one-on-one combat this for this turn and I'll be okay. Rats were way less reliable in that factor. Unless it was Scud, but I mean, even then, he had a flank. Had to get a flank to knock anything out. We also kind of tripped our way into a new club, team, or whatever we call ourselves.
Things that happen when you sit around a brewery.
Going up to Bison last year. Yeah.
Going up to Bison last year, we stopped at 903 Brewery in Sherman, which I think we can now say is the official brewery of the beer phase. Are we ready to make that commitment? It's the best brewery in the state of Texas.
I agree with you. I'm ready to make that commitment.
So they're up in Sherman, which is north of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, maybe 40 minutes north. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends where you start. If you start in the Metroplex, it could be 2 hours away.
Yeah, it's like an hour and a half for me to get there from the west side of Fort Worth. And then if you're in downtown Dallas proper, it's probably like an hour, maybe 40 minutes, depending on how nice traffic is on 75.
They specialize in sweet stouts, pastry stouts. They've got seltzers the way seltzers should be done, which is it tastes like a fruit smoothie, not like flavored water. You see the fruit floating in it. It's not this bubbly, clear nonsense that people are calling beer. At the slushies, which are considered seltzers somehow. Only seltzers I've ever loved. Everything they make there is great. So if you're in the DFW area looking for something to do and you've got an hour of driving ahead, Sherman is awesome. Go out to 903. Fully endorsed. They don't even pay us to endorse it. We wear their shirts and talk about how awesome they are and then roll up to tournaments and represent the brewery for some reason.
All right. So let's change gears a little bit. We've been talking about the past a lot. Let's go into the present. Let's talk about what we're currently working on or what we're like kind of gearing towards.
Sure.
Ryan, you do way more hobby work than I do, like in spades. So I'm just going to kick it to you and I'll kind of poke at you for a little bit. And then I'll throw out the like one thing that I'm doing.
Absolutely. So I've got four projects currently going. Going up for Bison, the one takeaway I had from Masters is that I can't break a unit on a 5. I need to break units on a 4. Adding Clarion to my Northern Alliance list, which I'm going to do with Link mounted on his horse Epona. I've got an STL for it. I'm getting it refined and scaled. And then I'm going to print it and paint it up for Bison and see if it can get me that one extra win that I feel like I'm losing because I can't roll a 5 reliably to break units. Clarion offers Dread. He offers, he can give Frozen to a unit. So if you've got Tundra Fighters, which gives you a Vicious to hit Frozen units, it's a good benefit. It synergizes really well with the way my army works. I'm eager to try him out. I'm not actually going to play a game with him until I get to Bison because that's kind of how I play this game. But in theory, it will help me out a lot.
You keep saying Bison. I think you mean
Dojo.
Are
we going to? When's Bison? Oh, Bison already happened. You just won Bison.
Happened.
Bison yeah, I mean Dojo. Going up to Dojo GT.
That's what I figured.
There's only so much room in my head for tournaments. I'm also working on a pair of Firefight armies. The San Antonio community has kind of picked up Firefight as our fun game to just throw dice with. I've got an Asterion army and a Plague army that I'm slowly ramping up to 1,500 points. The Asterions, I'm breaking all my rules for painting. They are almost a fully metallic army. Instead of the non-metallics I always do, this army is just shades of metal, which was fun. I'm using a lot of glazes, which I don't do. I'm using a lot of ink washes, which I don't do. And my kids picked out the color schemes for me with some paints they bought me for my birthday a year ago. So it's a fun little project to not really care about looking the way my stuff usually looks, play with some painting styles I haven't done in 15 years. And the models are really fun to paint. Plague, I'm just slapping stuff together. I don't really have an overall theme. It's just, hey, here are models. Hey, here's an army. I'm playing with colors I don't normally do, like turquoises, but now I'm using turquoises heavily in my Riftforged Orc army that I've started. I've got, I think, 500 points painted, and I'm hoping to hit 1,000 by the end of the month. I am doing another All-Mantic army. The last one I did was Abyssals, and no one really liked it. This one will be cooler because I think the sculpts are so much better. Now that I've painted a unit of Morax and started painting the Riftforged Legionnaires, there is so much difference in the amount of detail in these sculpts. It feels like I'm painting from two different companies. Are they Mercia level? No. Are they good for plastics? Yeah, they're good for plastics. I'm enjoying painting the newer sculpts. The older ones are a bit more of a slog to get through. I'm having to force details on like the gore riders that have these broad sections of back with nothing on them. But you make up for it with the armor detail in the Riftforged. I cannot wait to start in on the centerpieces like the Storm Giant and the Thunder Shrine. It's not called a Thunder Shrine. I don't remember what it's called. I don't know my army. So yeah, that's what I've been working on. And then I'm doing a bunch of 3D terrain stuff for Alamo. I'm reprinting a base for you to make your Frostfang a little less harrowing. You've got them on.
A little less birdie.
Yeah, a little less flying since there's now a flying unit.
Yeah.
When we did that unit, it was perched on this really, really high 4-inch tall display piece that's really annoying on the table. So I'm
6-inch tall.
6-inch tall. Well, that's what we tell her. But
totally
I'm slicing it up so that you can have one that runs around on the table that's a lot smaller and more manageable. So you don't have to worry about, you know, knocking it over or not being able to see that there's a unit behind it. And maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to touch a unit in close combat, which my armies have a huge problem doing, because why would I want my combat armies to actually rank up against their opponents? That's nonsense.
The ranking's not the issue. It's actually the travel. So, like, trying to get that unit, I can't pack it into the army case, you know, where all the other army units sit. So it actually has to stay in the stupid display board. And then we drive across the Memphis roads and it, like, rattles and the birds pop off.
They've got small contact points anyway.
Let me jump back on you for a second. And maybe you don't want to divulge this. Maybe you do. For the Riftforge orcs, what color are you painting their skin?
So I'm doing two things with the Riftforged orcs. I'm doing a couple of units of Morax, Gore Riders, and Chariot Riders. I'm doing those static orcs, so greens. For the actual Riftforged, I've been reading the fluff, and it keeps saying that Garkan marked their skin. So instead of greens, I'm painting them in turquoise skins. So they're still green, but instead of highlighting it up to that yellow, it's highlighted up to a blue. And then I'm going with really, really warm brass armor around them, so you've got a really strong cold, warm contrast. And then I'm going all in on lightning themes. So all their weapons for the Riftforge are going to have lightning through it, so it's going to be blues and white.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to look very interesting. I don't have more than one unit side by side that I can look at. I've just got a character or two of that turquoise. But it's an interesting challenge trying to make orcs that are not green. Because being green skin is such a thing, but a fluff says these don't look like orcs. I didn't want to go black. That's a little boring. So I'm going to try turquoise. I may get sick of it and do something else. I've been playing with turquoise a lot lately. It's a color that I don't use in my palette very often, but it's a color I really like. So I'm hoping it'll look good. If it doesn't, then you'll never know when you see the army and it'll be some other color.
Yeah, I like turquoise also. I seeing it as a skin color where it's not related to lizards kind of throws me. So I'd love to see how it comes out.
I'll be sure to share it when I've got stuff painted up. So far, I'm doing the orcs. I'm forcing myself to paint the old models first because I'm scared if I start doing the new ones, I'm not going to want to go backwards.
You won't want
to
go back.
My reward to paint hordes of infantry is to paint hordes of infantry. Hordes of better infantry. Better and I'm not infantry. Running them in hordes. I'm running them in a lot of regiments.
They seem like they work better that way.
They do. And I think there's some fun synergy you can do with one of the formations, I guess the only formation, to give wild charge auras around. So what have you been up to? Do you have anything currently you want to talk about?
I am actually working on stuff. So I just finished adding two units and a character to the Aztec list for Bison. They went well. I'm actually firing the character because Dojo is going to have kind of a different requirement to be competitive in that field. And that character was okay, but he wasn't great. So I'm going to fire him. I'm going to bring back the Ice Blade that we played with back in BCB, or was it?
It was BCB.
Was it Living Legends? One of the two. I'm going to bring back that little fighty character individual to try and go after some samurais. But I've already got him painted, so he's good. But I'm adding another. I'm actually expanding the unit from a troop to a regiment of Thunder Wolves. To kind of make up the gap, because I'm going from 2250 back up to 2300. And there's this weird, like, 80-point shift that happens when I get rid of the character, bring in the other character. And so I'm like, all right, cool, I can bump this unit up bigger. So I'm painting five more Tundra Wolves this week. and their base, and then I'm just going to have them front to back with one of the previous troops that I had already. And they paint up pretty quick. You know, I'm kind of picky about the models I'd like to put in, you know, to try and fit up with that Aztec theme. The Tundra Wolves actually do go pretty well with it. It's heavy blue. I've got a lot of blue across that army. So, yeah, I'm painting on them right now. I've got them priming downstairs as we speak, and so I should be able to knock those out over the next 3 weeks to get that done. Yeah, so that just kind of like what we talked about in the previous segment, adding a unit or two, you know, every time we go to a new event. That way it's not the same army everybody's seen every single time. And then it gives me a little more playability if I want to flip or do something different. Okay, well, I don't want to take this anymore. I'm
you don't get bored with it as fast that way.
Instead. I don't even think it's bored. It's just, you know, when you're in the middle of a game and you feel like, man, I wish I had this other unit. I've got them in my, you know, I've got them back home. I can pull this unit the next time I want to use it. And I've had that feeling a couple of times at events where it's like, man, I wish I had this. Because I used to run, I think, 2 Snow Queens last year. And that was helpful, but it was kind of overkill. So just kind of learning the list and evolving with it every couple of events. So
we've talked about the past. We've talked about the present. Mark, what have you got coming up in the next few months?
Okay, so we have basically the entire slate of the South qualifying season upon us. And we have all of our events stacked almost month to month on top of each other for the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah.
So we've got Dojo, which is coming up in like 3 weeks. Lists are due in what, a week and a half.
A week from time of recording.
On the night. So I'm tweaking my list a little bit. Like I said, I'm painting a unit for that and gearing up towards that. And then after that, they're doing BCB in October, which kills me because I can't go. This is like the first time I can't go to BCB. A
terrible week for it.
In 4 or 5 years. I'm actually going to Ohio State, like an Ohio State Penn State game with some of my work buddies.
Nice.
And yeah, we had picked that date out, I think, before BCB had even picked their day. So even if I could go, I can't go now.
Yeah. I've put it on the weekend. I do all my terrain for Alamo.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Because Alamo is like a week after that on November 4 and 5. So gearing up towards that, getting ready to do that again. You're doing 2,500 points.
Yes, sir. Right? 2,500 across the board.
Yeah. And you're doing that new...
Yeah, we're doing the fancy tournament bracket.
March Madness style. Yeah, love it. So after that, then it turns over into December. Almost a month later, we're doing the Naughty or Nice tournament, which is something that I haven't really gone out of my way to advertise because it fills up in the matter of like 2 days, which it's kind of the overtake for the Living Legends because Jeff's not really running the event anymore with the moves and stuff he's going through. So I said, okay, well, there's an empty pocket on the calendar. It's the end of the year. It's a nice kind of reward for folks. And so we bring people in to my house and I cook for everybody over the weekend. And basically the entire event fee goes towards food minus the 100 points to, or $100 to pay for the trophies that we make for it, which are Christmas ornaments. And it's a doubles tournament. Everybody gets drunk. It's all you can eat, all you can drink. And it was really fun last year. I mean, you played it. You tell me how you felt about it.
It was great. If England had won the soccer match, that's the only thing that could have made that a better event for me.
Well, we're going to an earlier weekend this year, which I didn't want to do, but I kind of had to do because
somebody's getting married. Golly.
So we got to go to that.
Yep.
I've already got my flights bought for that. I'm going out Thursday, coming back Sunday afterwards, I think. So I haven't locked down a hotel yet. I figure we'll figure that out here in the next couple of weeks.
Waiting on venue information to know even what city to stay in.
Yeah. And then so then we go to January. And Bayou has moved out of August into January. Still the same venue, still the same kind of soccer bracketing format.
I'm looking forward to making it this time.
Yeah, I think I'm already signed up and paid, so I'm going to that. Let's see, I'm trying to check my calendar dates.
Then the next one
is Shiloh. Yeah, Shiloh is in February. It's typically on Pro Bowl weekend, and I think they're still there. They may have shifted back a little bit because Masters has moved out of February. As everybody knows, for the last like two or three years, Masters has been in July or June or August. pick your date. So then after Shiloh, I think the next one is Lone Wolf. And so we've got Lone Wolf. I've already got a couple of people signed up. I normally don't open up registration until Alamo. But I opened it up early this year because we were at Masters and I actually had somebody from the UK sign up.
Oh, nice.
So I said, screw it. Let's go ahead and open it up. So we're going to have a returning Masters, or not Masters, a returning Lone Wolf champion from the UK coming back out next year.
That's fantastic.
And then we close out the season with King of Monsters, which is a shift because normally Lone Wolf is the end. Now King of Monsters is going to be the end because Masters moves so far back in the calendar to like Labor Day. We actually have enough cushion space to make the team and team make flights in that time period after May. So King of Monsters is going to be our bookend this year, and it'll probably shift back forward to Lone Wolf next year in 2025. But that's that's the scene. That's everything that's coming up as far as tournaments go.
That's awesome. It's good to be in the South.
Yeah, it sure is. It's going to be interesting to see how the summer plays out. So like we're done in May, right? And then the next thing that we would have, because we use Bison as a dual qualifier, would be Bison. But Bison can't do their weekend that they normally do, which is like middle slash late August, because it's too close to the new Masters date. So they may shift up. So, I mean, they may move into the July spot, or they may move into the June spot. But yeah, we kind of go into a dead period from May until the next September, which is when Samurai is. And Samurai may try and shift too, because
having Masters in August is too close to Masters
either. Exactly. Yeah. Labor Day for August.
So it sounds like we've got some road tournaments to figure out for the summer. Go invade some other region.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot. We had one region do a real hard pitch with my wife to have us go up for their summer event, and I think she's still wanting to do that.
Oh, nice. So
I don't want to give anything away yet, but there's definitely discussion about that. And I think they talked to your wife too, so we'll have to figure that out the next time we're all together.
I think I know the one you're talking about, and they did pretty hard, although she kept asking who the guy was. I love my wife. She's terrible with names.
Yeah. Which one are you talking about?
Was that the one with the long hair? Yeah. Was that the kind of chubby one? Was that the one with glasses? Yes, sweetie. It was all of those things at once.
Goatee.
Yeah, and a goatee. Wearing cargo shorts. So you had mentioned you were changing up your Northern Alliance to go into Dojo. I haven't played with the 2023 rules yet. How have you found that they have changed your playing of that army?
All right. So I thought that there would be a lot more impact with the shift in rules that they've done. And maybe it's because it's the style of list that I'm running doesn't really play into those new kind of toys and tricks. I haven't really found a massive difference. Me, I've always loved the Frozen rule, and I've tried to stack it really, really hard. So them giving Frozen aura to some of the heavy hitters in the Northern Alliance list has, in theory, made my list better. But in practice, normally, because I like to run Hrim and or another Frost Giant, I haven't found myself in a scenario where, you know, you're talking about turn 3, 4, 5, or 6, where Hrim is out into the mix of things and my opponent is somehow trying to move past him to where the Frozen aura matters. It's great if I've got something that has Tundra fighters trying to fight whatever's fighting Hrim, But normally Hrim can solo most of the stuff that he's attacking because he's pretty selective in what he likes to go after when I play. It hasn't made a huge difference. I also tried to use the Frostclaw champion guy.
Bomb
thrower. The little guy on the Raven. Yeah, to throw bombs and try and be a little disruptive. He's a little limited by that defense four, which I think is by design. I know that they're basically Scorch Wings, which everybody hates. But he can go in, and the idea that I was going to run with him is, okay, I'm going to dive him in on a combat where something has Tundra Fighter. And then they're going to synergize together because he's going to do a couple of wounds and it'll be great. Well, he's got Thunderous 2. He doesn't have Pathfinder. So you got to be really careful about when you use him and how you use him. Because if anything strips off that Thunderous, he's just going to come in. He's going to hit on threes with five attacks. He might get a wound off. But if you're going against defense 5 and 6 and something stripped his Thunderous, he's probably not going to get a wound off. Yeah, he's not going to. He might get the one wound. And if he gets the one wound, he gives Frozen. And now you hit with the next unit, which is something that hopefully has Tundra Fighter. They've dropped the cost on a couple of things. They've nerfed the Frost Fang Lords. They've knocked an attack off of them. I think they've also knocked the points down a little bit too, which I think adds up. And I think they dropped the Crushing 3 down to Crushing 2, Thunderous 1. And they may have done that before. That may have been a pre-2023 edit that they did, but I'm not remembering exactly. But they haven't now. So they hit a little less hard with a little less consistency, but they're still dangerous. They're still really, really solid monsters that just run around and kick the crap out of stuff. But yeah, the Frost Claws, they look good, but I think that defense 4 is going to be kind of their offset, the thing that makes them less dangerous. And I didn't take the units yet. I've only taken the character, but that was the character that I'm probably kicking out for Dojo and bringing in something else. And I did not buy the upgrade on the Frostfang Cav give them vicious for things.
You shouldn't need it.
Because again, I have a feeling, they're going to be off by themselves most of the time. The only thing that I thought about was having that little Frostclaw champion run with them and go and tag stuff. And the only time it might've helped is when I had the Frost Fangs fighting something that was defense 6. And then it's like, cool, well, Vicious would be really good here, but I still don't think Vicious is either going to swing or win that combat. And that's assuming that little guy can actually do that one wound that he needs to get that Frozen off. All that said, I still like the changes. I think they're good. I think it does make Northern Alliance better. It did not really change my list. My composition of list did not change dramatically at all from it.
Interesting.
And maybe it should. Maybe I'm behind the times, but yeah. What have you found? What are you thinking
I have
about?
Not added the flyers. Zelda's only got one flying option I could use, and I don't really want to use it in the army because it's going to be a huge problem to model it in. I do take Norbeek Clansmen. And have paid for Tundra Fighters on them because the Huskarls regiment is really good. And Vicious is just a little bit more. They're almost always next to Hrim. But I'm also adding Clarion. And Clarion has a ranged Frozen option. So he can tag a unit at the end of his movement phase. So as long as I'm within 12 inches, I can tag whoever the Huskarls are fighting to give them that extra Vicious with their Crush 2. And that, I think, is going to make them even more of a chainsaw.
Dude, that's really good. That's really
debating.
Good.
I've got a horde of the naked, I don't want to say clansmen, the naked humans, but I don't know if it's worth Tundra Fighters on a horde if you don't have that Crushing Strength 2 upgrade, Crush 1. I don't know if it's needed or not. I need to do a little more practice games to figure out if it's needed. And they're also never really in combat with Hrim. Hrim's usually out either on his own or running around with snow trolls or with the Huskarls, so I don't know if Clarion can only tag one, which one is more worth tagging. It leads to decisions I don't want to make in the heat of battle, because that's thinking, and then I chew on my tape measure, and it's bad for my teeth.
So, the one unit that I have not pulled back into rotation yet is the Ice Naiads. And they got some pretty significant bumps. So they one, they've got Tundra Fighter if you want to take that. Two, they can take Phalanx now if you want to do that. And then they also got an Icy Blood Rule, which I think gives them like Life Leech.
Too.
So now, now not only are they regening, if they're doing wounds in combat, they're Life Leeching. I really want to take a horde of those guys. And so I've got that Temple Guard unit that I had painted up for, I think, our first run at BCB with them, where I used them as a, I think I used them as a regiment of Naiads. I've got one more brick that I want to, or little regiment that I want to make, and I want to run them side by side to make a horde. And I think that'll do the trick, because I think the regiments are a little too weak.
Yeah,
I think
they
die a little too easy with their defense four. But it's a horde when they can regen. Yes. Especially when I'm running the queen with the heal on top of it. So, yeah, I think they're a solid brick. I really want to take them and upgrade them, because that is something I would run right next to Hrym. And so they would get the benefit of their Tundra Fighters going off. That's one of the units where I've really wanted to get them in. I just haven't been able to work them in with the things that
Phalanx
I'm
also
right now.
Bumps them up to 30 attacks in the horde.
Yeah, it gives them.
Now you're having me rethink, because I've got the tribesmen horde that I could run as Naiads,
dude.
Now I'm gonna have to think about it.
I'm telling you, you give those little bastards hammer, measured force, and or dragon shard shield if you really want them to live for one round on like a bad charge. And they've got Phalanx, and they're defense 6 for this turn. Oh, God, that's such a good unit.
You may talk me into it.
I just got to... You know what? I'm going to talk you into making me another one of those staircase regiment bases so that I can actually make the horde now.
I can make that
that's
happen.
That's what I'm going to do. Oh, my God. I really want to run that. One of the other units that I don't think we've talked about yet is the Tundra Wolves. And they really haven't changed that much, except for the fact that now they have Pathfinder. And that's the one thing that I added for my Bison army, was I added 2 Tundra Wolf troops. And they didn't really do the damage output that I thought they would when they hit on 3s, and they have Thunderous 1 and Pathfinder. I was like, okay, well, they're going to be good for, you know, 2 or 3 wounds for most cases, maybe 4 or 5 in some good cases. They hit like wet noodles for most of the time, but they did what I need them to do with their speed 9 and their Pathfinder and their nimble. So they were great units. So I'm happy with those. I'm happy with the little upgrade that they got, and I've actually swapped them out. I was using snow foxes before, which are a little bit cheaper, but the snow foxes die in a stiff breeze. So I think the Tundra Wolves is the better move now over the Snow Foxes.
Yeah, I'm going to keep my Snow Foxes just because my points are so tight on the army.
Yeah, and I, you know, I'm right there with you. Like, if I had the spare 30 points, I'd probably bump them up. But if I don't, Snow Foxes.
And I use mine a little differently than yours, because you use yours tactically for screening. Mine mostly hide in a corner and try and hold an objective at the end of the game. Or die horribly save something else.
Yeah. Yeah, sit back and hold. And I mean, the Frostclaw Riders would do that too, right? Like, if you're taking the regiments only 20 more points than the Tundra Wolves for the additional move, and they shoot them.
More utility in it.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you got to pay for the shots, though, I guess. So it's a little more than 20 points.
I can't do math. Yeah, 30 points.
But yeah, the Frost Giant, Hrym, and the Cavern Dwellers all getting the Chilling Presence for that aura of Frozen is pretty cool, I think. Keeps people from running away from you. Still like the Giants.
Also,
better.
Like, I don't know if you noticed, they took Icy Breath off the Ice Queen, so she's actually cheaper because she comes without magic.
So I think... Yeah, I think all the casters are going to go that route if the rumors that I've heard are true. where you're not going to be defaulted into a spell automatically, and then you have to buy around it. And that's, I think that's why they dropped the points on them. They took the spells off and they said, okay, cool, pick whichever spell you want, as opposed to saying, okay, you have to start with Icy Breath, or you have to default into Surge, or you have to pay more for whatever other spells you want. So I think that's going to be the new norm for most casters when they do, you know, when they do these spot updates, or when they do the new COC, where they, you know, they overhaul kind of the composition of the armies. At least that's the impression I've been given. I look forward to it. And yes, I agree with you. I love it. Because I think I used Icy Breath maybe one out of every,
I think I used it
like
twice at Masters, and I'd used it in no tournaments before that.
Yep. And it's late game when you're trying to pick something up, and it's not really,
it's not, especially with Blizzard sitting right below it.
Yeah, it's good for chaff, but that's about it. And it's the same price too. That's the interesting thing, is Icy Breath 10 is 30 points, and Blizzard
also 30 points.
2 is 30 points. You're going to Clarion, huh?
I'm thinking Dread. The Dread aura is really all I care about for him. He's there to help me make that nerve roll more guaranteed. I lost one game at Masters to not being able to break a 5, and I didn't help myself in a second game the exact same way. So that little bit, that little point, I couldn't find a way to put Cloak of Death in the army, which is the other fun way to do that when you find yourself off by one. No one in Northern Alliance.
Who's got Cloak of Death?
The Storm Giant in the Rift Forge.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I couldn't think of it. Yeah, true.
But yeah, I'm at a point where I've moved on from the Northern Alliance, and I'm only going to play him in tournaments. I'm not going to do practice games with him anymore. I'm all in on the Orcs now.
So I can't get in practice games, and it's not that people aren't available to play. It's my schedule is so weird where I'm always doing something in the afternoons or evenings, and then I'm gone almost every single weekend. Oh, I'm going to be out of town. I'm going to go do this. I've got friends doing that. We're doing this. We're doing that. I just can't do practice games. Like, yeah. I don't get to practice almost ever. So, and that's fine. I don't care. You know, like I said, the general build that I have for the list hasn't changed dramatically over the last year that we've been running it. It's the little accent pieces that are the changes, and I usually take about a game to get used to them, and then by the time I do, then it all runs pretty well. So I don't disagree with you. It's not something that I'm going to sit there and practice because, God, there's so many other things to do with our life than just sit there and crunch numbers. And
we're building up a gaming community in San Antonio with Kings of War again, so I've got 5 or 6 guys I can get games from now, and we're meeting regularly, which is even better.
Oh, that's so awesome.
It's been fun building a community around the store and around these guys. We're doing a slow grow league right now, semi-officially, in that there are no rules, just build models and paint them up. And we're slowly increasing points. The goal is to have 2 or 3 of these guys come to Alamo and do their first GT downtown with us. So throw them in the deep end or the kiddie pool, depending on how many people sign up. If you haven't signed up for Alamo, we're almost halfway full, so time is running out. You were.
I was the first one signed up. That's right. Like 5 months ago. You paid me for Lone Wolf, and I turn around and immediately
now I need to bounce it back and pay you for Lone Wolf again. So I can issue a challenge to some schmuck who signed up who dodged me the last time he was at Lone Wolf by winning almost all his games.
Oh, okay. All right.
It will happen.
I know who you're talking about.
I don't issue challenges. That's one of my rules. For this man, I will issue a challenge.
I think you need to issue challenges. the only way to assure that you can get at least one game that you want to get in that weekend.
Yeah.
Because everything else goes to chance. That was one of the most interesting and frustrating things about game four of Bison.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never played Adam Ballard, at least that I can recall. And I know I drink a lot, so maybe it's that. But I've never played Adam Ballard, as far as I can remember. And we were at 49 points mm-hmm. going into round four. But the upper echelon of the guys that were taking top battle had this weird like triangulation where they had like, well, A has played B and B has played C and C has played D and D has played E and E has played A. So they can't all like shift opponents. So Adam shifted one way and I had to shift the other way. And I didn't get to play him. And then, of course, he wins that game and I get my ass mm-hmm. totally smoked in round four by Devlin Smith, who took off like five units in one turn. Yeah, dude, he was fucking killing me. It was great. So then I was like, well, I'm definitely not playing Adam round five because
yeah.
there's no way Adam takes the score that I took. So I missed him, even though we were on the same points. But that's where challenges come in. If you challenge,
that's fair.
You can always make sure you get the game you want. Yeah.
Mark, you got any last thoughts?
just start over.
Mark, do you have any thoughts?
Oh, that's a little scratchy. You might want to try it again.
You have a boner right now?
I do now.
I still owe Matt Carmack Who speaking doesn't? To him sultry.
I mean, I can log off if you want to take care of that right now. Oh, he's not. That's too bad. I gotta get his. I've never done Discord before.
It's an interesting beast.
So
it's really easy to be overwhelmed.
Yeah, it's kind of like everything.
It's like Facebook groups, but even more clickish because you have to know where it is to get there.
Yeah.
You can't just like wander in going, hey, I like Kings of War. I want to join San Antonio Kings of War because you don't know it's there. Yep.
And then you've got to have a link. Someone has to let you in. You do know it's there.
Like our Discord for the beer phase that no one can get to because we haven't told anyone that there's a Discord for the beer phase. Or that there's a thing called the beer phase that's alive and doing stuff.
Hey, you know, one episode better every 3 years. That's the average, right?
They did.
Oh, yeah, they stopped too, didn't they?
They were.
That sucks. They were funny. I mean, we were funny.
They were drier funny. We're alcoholic wet funny.
Yeah, we're a little wet.
My beer has run empty. I guess that means we should be done.
I'm pretty close, so yeah. You had asked me earlier if I had any parting thoughts, and you know, considering that we haven't done this for 3 years, it's nice mm-hmm. to be doing this again. It feels right. I've kind of missed it.
I have as well.
And I'm really excited to kind of see the arc of the gaming community, because I know, like, whatever, you can wax poetic about how a game company runs their game and does their things. I think that we've seen a lot of interesting changes with Kings of War over the last 3+ years. And some of it's good, some of it's bad. I think the nice thing is a lot of what I would deem to be the good people are still around and still interacting and still just as much fun, because I had to miss the Seattle Masters, and going up to the Omaha Masters, it felt like I was home, you know, like it felt just getting in there and immersing with all of those guys that I hadn't seen for in 2 years. And it was like, we hadn't seen each other since yesterday. You know, we just picked up right where we left off. And that's always kind of how Kings of War has felt to me. And it's nice that that's still there. And at almost every tournament I've gone to, it still feels that way. So I am just really happy that that's still going on. And that's kind of what drives me to do, you know, the events that I do. I'm sure it drives you to do the events you do.
Yep.
It does.
It's just nice. I like it.
I've joked once, and it was only half joking, that doing a Kings of War tournament, especially one where you're in another city in a hotel surrounded by the guys the whole time, it's like a religious retreat. Because you're surrounded by guys that have a similar shared love of something that you do and a shared experience with that thing. And for the most part, the jerks aren't there. You go to a Kings of War tournament, you're going to have five good games if it's a five-game tournament. You don't get that in a lot of other games. And just being surrounded by guys that are there to have fun and enjoy and maybe push your shit in, but maybe just roll dice and yell at each other across the table like Mike Rossi and I got to do, it just reminds you how awesome this community can be.